Good afternoon. Welcome back to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio, a league of nations among other Internet radio talk stations, voices of the people, united we roar. Today is June 15, 2007. PIVTR is the Internet home for anyone seeking quality information and entertainment, as well as answers to many of the multiple concerns that the average person wants to know. At PIVTR, we not only provide experts passionate about their work, we offer you viable content and solutions. PIVTR is also dedicated to helping published mid-list and beginning writers, unknown authors, small businesses, and entrepreneurs to further market themselves, their services, books, and products to the media. And now, from 2:33 Eastern Standard Time, let me present to you Dr. Barbara Becker Holstein and Happiness from Women Only. Good afternoon, Barbara.
Good afternoon, Lillian, and I'm delighted to be back. There's nothing better than happiness. And right now, happiness for women only. So move your chair a little closer and join us for an exciting talk. Today, on Happiness for Women Only, Martha Trowbridge, my associate and co-host for this show, will join me in a fascinating discussion about women and happiness, particularly around the ages of 20 to 35. We're doing a four-part series. The first episode was on girlhood up to about 20. That has been archived, as Lillian does all of her shows, on www.internetvoicesradio.com, Happiness for Women Only. You can find it, and you can listen to it, so you'll have the background of girls growing up and what happiness means in terms of adolescence and late childhood. And over the next couple of weeks, we'll be doing the young middle-aged ladies from 35 to 50, and then the slightly older, but certainly not older ladies, really, in today's culture of 50-plus. Well, today, as I said, we're looking at women between the ages of 20 and 35, and what are just a couple of the issues facing those women as they struggle to live full lives, and, of course, experience happiness. Martha, feel free at any time. I'm just going to go through some of the issues that I see from my practice as a psychologist with 30 years of listening to stories, and here we go. I find that women between 20 and 35 do have their sense of development, a kind of wonderment that they finally made it to be a grown-up. And yet, at the same time, they're often struggling with leftover self-esteem wounds, sometimes from boyfriends that went wrong, sometimes from overly harsh or critical parents, sometimes from not doing well in their educational process. So oftentimes, young women come to me with a great deal of injury around feeling good about themselves. That's one area. Another thing that women between 20 and 35 struggle with is how to be successful, both emotionally and financially. Emotionally, there's that constant tug between the young woman's needs for her own identity, her own sense of pleasure, her own interests, and yet she's still at the same time being pulled toward other people's needs, often because she wants to be. She wants a boyfriend and or a husband or a partner. She wants babies. She wants pets. She wants to live on her own rather than at home. So there's so many struggles going on, and yet at the same time, often, where is she? Where is she in all of this? If one marries, there is suddenly the pull between her husband's needs and her own. And sometimes there isn't even enough wisdom to buffer those two dimensions. And I do find, particularly, and I don't know if you've seen this at all, Martha, in the literature or dealing with more abused women, that the first year of marriage can be very disorienting to a woman's psyche, and she can particularly sort of lose her sense of being grounded as to who she is. And then it usually just starts to come back, and that passes.
Well, Barbara, actually, the first year can be a honeymoon. It can be, in some ways, blinding to the reality of the situation you find yourself in. And perhaps later years, the issues, the faults, the deficits, and so on become more obvious. So I think it depends on the relationship. I agree with you, though, wholeheartedly. It's so different to be a married woman versus being a woman who has never been married. There is your whole identity really does get called into question. It gets put under a lamp in the sense of there is a person with whom you're sharing time and space in a very intimate way. So it can be threatening. It can be a very threatening time for a woman who does not have a secure sense of self.
Right. And we'll come back to some of this in terms of the three gateways to happiness we're going to discuss today and how we navigate through some of this to be as happy as we can during each stage of life. And let me just remind you, even though we are emphasizing some of the issues that real women face between 20 and 35, I'm not trying to skew the picture that we've got a whole bunch of millions and millions of women around the world just feeling miserable in between 20 and 35. It also can be a very glorious time with built-in happiness. For example, for many, many women, having a child or even more than one is close to bliss, not only what certain women get from the pregnancy and the childbirth, or even the exciting process of adoption, but the actual developmental raising of a child can be extremely connective and uplifting for many, many women. Building a home. Go ahead, Martha.
And the excitement, I think, in those years, once you're 20, 22, you often have opportunities to travel, to travel on your own versus going as somebody's daughter. You have opportunities to do things you hadn't done in the past, to perhaps get your own apartment or house. And it's a very exciting time as well. There's lots of hope, generally, and anticipation. And you just find yourself doing so many things, as you were saying earlier, as a real woman, as an adult woman, that it can be a really fantastically splendid time of life.
Yes, and another thing is that for many, many women, probably most women, that are in good health, and most women between 20 and 35, at least in the Western world, thank God, are in good health, that there's a sense of personal wonderment about your body and your ease of movement and just even your own sexual feelings that maybe don't have some whatever they had maybe secretly as a teenager that you were uncomfortable with. You know, you're kind of much more comfortable with everything, the rhythm of your body. And there is that energy for going and doing. And even I remember myself when I was about 24, I remember walking down the street and just feeling so light and airy. And, you know, it was so easy to walk. And there were some men, and they whistled. And, you know, I've never been upset when men whistle. I always think it's nice. You know, I never read in the sort of dark side. I guess that's my nature, too. But they were workmen, and they whistled. And I was wearing a dress I had made that looked really good. And I was, you know, there was just a tremendous wonderment about my whole physicality that, wow, I mean, you can't beat it.
Right. And these years, are also a time of achievement, grown-up achievement. You feel, oh, my gosh, I did that, whether it is getting married, buying your first house, as you were saying, Barbara, having a child, getting a degree or a graduate degree. It's really a time when what so much of you've done earlier in life, you've prepared yourself to do, mm-hmm. you're now actually able to actualize.
And even if it's a successful secretarial job that you're mm-hmm. up and out and you're on the subway or the bus and you get there on time and, you know, you're respected by your boss and you're bringing home a salary, whatever it is, there is an excitement of the first go-round with it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at that now a little more clearly in terms of the three gateways to happiness. And let me just remind everybody that I have a free paper telling you all about the seven gateways to happiness that you can download by going to my website, www.enchantedself. Enchanted Self is one word. You go there, and right on the front page, it shows you where to click, and you can get that paper. And also, don't forget that, as I said, this radio show is totally archived, so you can hear all about the seven gateways to happiness if you have missed them. Now, I'm just going to briefly introduce you to the first gateway to happiness. The first gateway is tied into recognizing for ourselves, not just having someone on the outside say, you're talented or you're pretty or you have potential. That's fine, and we need that for feeling that we matter. But this is taking some time to note for yourself your talents, your strengths, your coping skills, and your potential so you can integrate them into your lifestyle, and in this case, the lifestyle of a 20 to a 35-year-old. What might that mean? Well, that might mean for a woman who's home with babies, how to get herself using her coping skills and her strengths enough that she stays healthy, that she gets enough sleep, that she learns enough about child rearing, so that she can still stay open to happiness. Because when we're depleted, tired, wrecked, don't know how to do things, we're not very happy. That's just one example. And Martha, I'm sure you have, you know, other thoughts.
Well, also, Barbara, a parallel situation of exhaustion is if you are in graduate school and trying to work on your doctorate, that can be awfully draining as well.
Oh, yes.
You would know that, Barbara.
Yes, and you would know it, Martha.
Yes. So.
So that's a very good point. So in that case, the talents are pretty clear oftentimes. The strengths are even pretty clear. But the coping skills may be something the young woman has to work on, because maybe she's letting herself just be so taken down the stream by what appears to be all the ritual of graduate school that she's leaving no area for herself.
Right. It's so easy to do, Barbara. I think we are all, at all phases of our lives, especially today, we are all overwhelmed by the requirements that seem to present to us day and night. It's just, it is exhausting. And as you said, Barbara, we've got to really make an effort to find a way to replenish ourselves. We just have to.
Right. And I think that looking at the potential can help, too. We have a gateway on happiness which deals with replenishment and happiness. But I think in terms of what I like to focus on at the moment, you know, if you remember and can get hold of your own potential, that can be a beacon to help you from going into total flat overload. Because if you're going for a doctorate or you're going for a nursing degree or to be a radiation technician or whatever it is, because you want to, say, work in the field 40 years, how are you going to work in the field 40 years if you burn out now?
Exactly. And that's another whole interesting area to explore, is that whole phenomenon of burnout. Why does it happen? Is it that a person really is not interested in what she's involved, or is she burnt out from not taking care of herself?
Right, from the depletion.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I think that it's more the latter. Mm-hmm. I think that we don't, I mean, we think that we're something we're not. We're not machines. And when we're overtired and we're overstressed, the outer world loses its shine. There's something that happens. And the inner world crashes a bit, too, of course. You were going to mention something about authenticity. Does this fit in here, or should we?
It absolutely does synchronize wonderfully with your first gateway. And, Barbara, we've talked about Dr. Jean Baker Miller before, who is a pioneer. She just died recently in the 1970s, was a pioneer and continue to be so in the field of women's psychology. And today I was looking again at her seminal book, Toward a New Psychology of Women, which was first published in 1976. And chapter 9 is entitled Becoming Oneself, Authenticity and Creativity. And she defined authenticity in a really wonderful way. She just simply said it's being oneself. I mean, how much more simple and elegant can you get? And she said in this chapter that many women do not find out who they are. They feel they've got they have a lack of a definite desire, to quote her. And she said, if you do not know what you want, you can avoid taking the risk to get it. But for women, this is a serious risk. So she says that often women can sort of, and we're talking again about these years, 20 to 35, it can be seductive to float through those years and not really define who you are and what you want for your life, because doing so really does require you to take risks that can be very difficult for you.
Yeah. Wow, this is like another hour's discussion. What it's making me think about, and you've gone as high as Jean Baker Miller, and now I'm going to down to something that I simply enjoy but I think has meaning for what for us now, and that is Sex in the City.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a sitcom on television. It's run many years, and over the course of the years, the four women who are the pivotal characters age, I'm not certain how much, I'm going to guess 8 to 10 years. And in that aging, each of the four gals does finally come to grips with who she really is by her later mid-30s. And for example, one of the gals who is a high-style lawyer and works a 12-hour day kind of thing comes to grips with her real capacities to marry, to have a baby, to move to Brooklyn rather than living in the heart of Manhattan, and integrates again and again and again the different changes and processes that this takes to come home to her own comfort level.
How marvelous.
Yeah. And even the gal who's sort of the sexy one who's always, you know, just announcing to the world that women have every right to, you know, have whatever men have had for thousands of years in the marketplace, so to speak, she evolves also to having a partner who's a young man who's somewhat younger than she, who is really very stable and brings her back to very normal living patterns. She faces cancer. She integrates those changes that are necessary to be really a grown-up that can handle the illness, and all within her own patterns of humor, whatever. So, yeah, it's absolutely, this is what we're talking about.
Authenticity.
Yes. So let's see. Now we're going to take a leap from authenticity. Well, we're really talking about the same thing, but now we're going to enter it through a different gateway, the gateway to happiness that's tied into learning to meet our needs and learning to know what we need to know, learning to negotiate. This is sometimes a difficult gateway to happiness because we do live in our culture as women a little bit under the illusion that either Prince Charming is going to come and save us, and so we won't have to learn whatever we needed to learn because he'll pick us from thousands of people, okay?
Well, Barbara, weren't we taught that?
Yes, of course.
I was.
Yes. And I used to imagine what it would be like in college when I came down that big staircase and, you know. And or we have this sort of hope that either we're going to inherit tons of money or someone is going to find us. And again, as a child, I literally, now you're a little bit younger than I am, but do you remember a show called The Millionaire? on TV?
I do.
Okay, well, he picks someone, and every week on Monday, I think his butler went to someone's door and handed a check for $1 million.
And in those days, that was a tremendous
amount
of money.
So you can't imagine how many Mondays I actually waited in my living room when I would get home from school, sort of like I knew it wasn't real, but sort of like it was,
mm-hmm.
you know. So
it was a very pleasant fantasy.
You know, but he never came. I mean,
he
that
never
was
came.
The disappointing part.
Well, Barbara, that's because you were destined to do the work you do, which is worth mega millions
thank you.
That many women.
So anyway, learning the tools that we need and getting the education we need is so profound to a woman's happiness, particularly 20 to 35, because this is when she has the energy, the most energy. This is when she probably could handle a baby and still a night course. You know, this is when she can perhaps complete a nurse's training or something rigorous that by in our 40s, 50s, we can do it, but it's so much harder.
Well, Barbara, that returns me to Jean Baker Miller in the next chapter, chapter 10. She talks about that five-letter word, power. And she defines power as, and I love this definition, the capacity to implement.
Wow.
Which is wonderful because, well, why would you think that would be a wonderful definition?
Because I think for most women, one of the things that handicaps us is that we've seen, we've smelled, we've intuited what's right and what should be in the world, and then we can't execute it because we're overpowered.
By
the setup of government, the setup of men as in the hierarchy system, many factors.
So it's
being
our
home
culture.
Being home with babies and watching and caring for our mothers and whatever. I mean, some of it's neutral. Not all of it. It comes from contaminated places. But we're often not able to get hold of that power.
Well, I think, too, you know, exercising power in a relational setting, such as in a marriage, can be a very dicey proposition because you often get punished for doing that.
Yes, of course. And when it does work, though, of course, it can be wonderful.
Tremendous.
And one can feel that having relationships that work is just as important and feels as good and brings as much happiness as if one won a Pulitzer Prize or something. And I think this is why in some private cultures like the Amish country and sometimes in the Hasidic Jewish world and different circles like those worlds and, you know, maybe the American Indians, other subcultures, people could get so much organic pleasure just from the process of successful family life and raising children, running a farm, whatever was involved.
Harmony.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
As opposed to competition.
Right.
Which can be competition can be very destructive.
Yes.
Unhealthy competition, I should say.
Yep. And it's, yes, so really, let's put it very practically for a woman between 20 and 35, it can mean either finishing your education, learning the tools you need to work effectively in an office place, be it the clothes you wear or how you handle your boss, or it can mean learning better relationship tools, say in your early marriage, or with a baby, how to handle children. So there may be an involvement with some psychotherapy or some marriage counseling. There may be a degree that you're getting. It can vary, but it's a very practical gateway to happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And the last gateway we're going to touch upon before we run out of time today is the gateway, which I think I've listed in my white paper as Gateway 5, the gateway to happiness tied into belonging. It's very important for women to socialize and belong and not isolate. And very often when we're stressed, we tend to isolate and then depression sets in. So what does this mean from 20 to 35? It can mean the mother home with the baby sort of withdraws and isn't that much in touch with her friends and feels very badly about herself and certain other ways that she's handling her life. It could mean that the successful career gal is not staying connected to her family, to her friends, is so caught up in the rat race that she is almost like a, you know, on automatic pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not good. It will lead to some sort of emotional overflow toward the more sad, blue, depressive, or frantic end of our personalities.
Loneliness.
Oh, yes.
Very painful to feel lonely.
Oh, it's such a bad feeling. Right. And so working our way through this, understanding it dynamically, understanding that even research supports belonging for women, that women even need to hug somebody, and it, even a cat on your lap, I think it's as short as 2 to 3 minutes, can help all the right hormones so that you don't feel as isolated. So it doesn't even have to be a person. But it's the way our bodies are set up, we have to stay connected.
That's very true, Barbara.
And you had mentioned you were going to talk a little bit about the power that can come from appropriate connections.
Yes, going back to Jean Baker Miller in that chapter, chapter 10, where she says that exercising power can often evoke fear of abandonment, emotional abandonment, social abandonment, financial abandonment, that the idea of power often was equated with independence in a very negative way, and that a better condition would be to vision yourself feeling effective, feeling that capacity to implement, and free while feeling intensely connected with other people.
So in other words, in the best of all worlds, and we can all get there if we work, it does take work, we can be close to people and close to hobbies, close to our business world, whatever it is, and yet at the same time remain
engaged in our whatever we're doing.
Very engaged in what we're doing, but mm-hmm. very passionately committed to our own sense of autonomy.
Yes, exactly. They are not mutually exclusive phenomena.
Right. And so going back again to the young woman up to ages 35-ish, it may mean that, let's say, you have very close girlfriends, but there are asked, maybe you don't really want to be in the bowling league with them. You know, maybe you don't really want to sit around having beer just because that's what they like to do. You know, finding a way to stay close and yet stay connected to what your own needs are, and having the courage that if these particular girls aren't the right girlfriends, there'll be others.
To evolve into more appropriate relationships.
Exactly.
Which is another whole topic, Barbara, having, as you were saying, the courage to let go of things that are draining and destroying you and replace them with sustaining relationships.
Right. And each time we do this, there's some degree of, we go through a little period that doesn't feel great, but the result is much more happiness because we know when we're true to ourselves, and that self, you know, our inner selves feel happy when we're in our own best interests. So we've looked at, Martha, I can't believe it's flown, but we've looked again at happiness for women only. You know, I think we've given some clear guidelines around the 3 gateways to happiness for women between 20 and 35 to look at, but actually everything we've said is relevant for all ages. And I think it'll be fun and very exciting to go ahead next week and talk about 35 to 50, which is a very different time. And I can remember distinctly how different I began to feel around 37, almost like I couldn't believe it, like a door opened that I didn't even know I was there. making me think at different levels about the experience of being a woman than I had had earlier.
So it was a very positive door that opened.
Yeah, very positive.
Great.
And so we'll talk about that. And meanwhile, don't forget to come to my website, sign up for my newsletter, take the free paper. And I certainly want to mention my new book, The Truth, I'm 10, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything, although I certainly am more than 10. But this little girl who wrote the book, quote-unquote, knows a lot, and it's all tied into the positive psychology that I teach. What she is teaching comes from the same basis of what I teach, but with fresh eyes that we do forget as we get older. So I hope you go to my website. The book is 20% off right now. And Martha, what would you like people to know about you before we leave for today? Anything?
Oh, thank you, Barbara. My name's Martha Trowbridge. I write Inspiration for Women in Crisis, women who are suffering from depression, PTSD, grief, and so on. And my website is www.MarthaTrowbridge.org. Thanks, Barbara.
Wonderful. So this is, again, Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein, positive psychologist, signing off for now. See you next week. And don't forget, happiness is for women. And sometimes it's for women only, and that's okay. Bye.
Thank you very much for listening to Passionate Internet Voices Radio. You have just listened to Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein in Happiness for Women Only. If you want to hear this all over again, please go to the website at http://internetvoicesradio.com and click under the archives on Dr. Holstein's name. PIVTR, whether providing you with the advice of experts or giving a voice to the average person who would not otherwise be bored. Heard. PIVTR emphasizes quality and enriching programs for our listeners' enjoyment. Thank you very much for listening. We have one more program coming up at 3:30 this afternoon with Monica Coleman, Let's Talk Waterways, and then a program on Sunday from 9 to 9:30, Laura Minnie and her guest, Kelly. And then at 11 o'clock, you will hear What's Happening, a new program that tells you the doings going on at PIVTR and also what is bugging people and what they want the political candidates to talk about instead of just pussyfooting around the willows. So thank you very much for listening. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.